There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's 4:04 in the evening here. Felger and Maz. We got Big Jim Murray alongside in the Maz chair, Marshall Hook in our update studio here in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. The Mo thing. I demand that you pronounce it properly, Hook.
I don't know that I can.
You're a newsman. You are you're an update man. You're the news guy. You're reasonably intelligent, I think. You should be able to pronounce this.
Myositis ossificans.
Okay, so Irsay was right. The Mo thing. Further, did just a little more research.
Nicholas Haljamarsson.
fair point. Maybe not good at pronunciations.
Yeah. Ladainian Waddle.
Defenseman of the Chicago Blackhawks. Played against you in the Stanley Cup Final in 2013. What's the name?
I was just doing a bunch of lines.
Nicholas Haljamarsson.
Haljamarsson. Anyway, the H is sound. Murray, someone texted you or you just looked
Patriots
up?
Patriots have acquired on DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, some pretty good Bruins historians here. So this Myositis ossificans. This is what Cam Neely had. So reading here, May 3rd, 1991, during Game 3 of the 91 Prince of Wales Conference Finals, loved when it was called that, Neely checked by Ulf Samuelsson, injured on the play, was hit again to the knee in Game 6. Compounding the situation was the fact that Cam Neely had developed myositis ossificans.
Come on, Hook.
Walk me through it. Love to hear it.
Thank you, Cam.
Ossificans.
In the injured area. So this is what Cam Neely had that ultimately helped end his career.
It's a major deal.
Yeah. And muscle turning to bone. It's not supposed to happen that way.
Okay. And so it's, again, like, I think they tried to couch it. So, I mean, now that I think about it, Irsay, again, and maybe whatever, you know, induced hazy was in, was just, you know, truth serum, if you will, gave you the straight answer of all people.
Right.
You know, so they originally said calf injury. So I think they've been trying to throw people off the scent, right? Calf injury. And then the GM, if we have the sound, will play it. Do you have it, Jimmy?
And we tested his ankle yesterday with a specific scan. He went and saw a specialist, and it led us to the area of the front of the ankle that needs to be addressed, and that was kind of, it's kind of high ankle-ish, and that's potentially referring to the posterior pain he's getting in the posterior ankle kind of up by the calf and why it's happening. You know, we've been treating the calf all along, and even treating the lower part of this, and then getting the test done on the os trigonum to make sure that wasn't the issue, which we don't think it is right now, led us to the front of the ankle.
Okay, so he's not giving you the Mo thing because the Mo thing's really bad potentially.
Right.
And is actually what's going on. And, you know, these teams aren't supposed to really talk about what exactly is going on. You're supposed to couch it high ankle-ish, you know, front of the ankle that led to some pain in the posterior, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Did not give you the real details, throw you off the scent. I mean, that's what everyone does. The Colts are giving you something, but the owner comes on and says, no, it's the Mo thing. The thing that ended Cam Neely's career.
This injury usually a result of an acute deep muscle bruise or repeated muscular trauma to the same spot.
Okay, it all goes back to the same thing. There's the Patriots and everyone else is in some sort of flames, some sort of dysfunction, injury, something nuts everywhere other than here. Back to your thoughts. Mike in Kentucky, what do you got on the Patriots? Michael!
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Listen, the AFC is a joke. The NFC is a joke. You're absolutely right about that. Look, the Patriots got 13 opponents this year. right? Because we played Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets twice. Okay, so those 13 opponents last year averaged 7.5 wins. They waltz into the AFC Championship game, even if it's with Brian Hoyer. Murray.
I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you. Tom Brady, God forbid, gets hit by a bus tomorrow. Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham take over. Double-digit wins. They win the division. They're in the divisional round and probably in the conference title game.
No, you're overrating Brian Hoyer. He sucks.
I'm not overrating Brian Hoyer. I'm just properly rating Bill Belichick and the program. And I'm properly, even more than that, I'm properly rating the league and what is going on across the league. That's what I'm properly rating. Mm-hmm. So you just don't want to admit because
you'll never get me to agree with that. Hoyer's bad. I don't care how good Belichick is, and with the questions at wide receiver this year, no more Gronk. If you had Brian Hoyer there, you're not winning 10 games.
Oh, but the league, Murray, the league, the best receiver in the league won't play because his got circumcised feet and a spray painted helmet that they're not allowing on the field. George in the car on Antonio Brown. Go ahead, George.
So I remember back when Brown and Odell were going to be traded at the same. They were both going to trade at the same time. They're not even close in terms of pain in the ass. Odell's just a brat. Antonio Brown's weird. This guy was driving 120 in a school zone, throwing furniture out of his window. He's slurring his words over there at NBA All Star Weekend. I genuinely think they need to drug test this guy for taking whatever Jim Irsay's taking.
So he
went. Genuinely believe that
he went 120 in school zone, tossing what out his window?
Furniture. He was tossing furniture out of his window. He almost killed. He almost killed someone's kid. I think he had to reach a settlement for it.
What? What do you mean furniture? Furniture? He's throwing furniture out his window, driving 120 through a school zone. Google that.
News to me.
Let's Google that one. That one should come up. Furniture. But again, there's the competition in the NFL. Nay, the whole NFL, even NFL teams. NFC teams. You'd think, you know, the Packers, they have a great quarterback, brand new coach, new system, new playbook, way behind the eight ball, starting over there.
It wasn't while he was driving. It was a lawsuit he got into with this place he was living at, throwing furniture off a balcony he was living at. A pair of lamps, an ottoman, and other furniture went out an apartment window.
When?
This was in 2018, late last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
I was going to say, college guy, you know, we all make stupid mistakes. We do stupid things when we're kids. No, that was last year. Like 6 months ago is what you're saying?
I mean, if you're high up, you got to get the hell out of the place. I understand that.
Oh, my God. Absolute bananas. Anthony and Hingham. Go ahead, Anthony. Anthony! Okay, his comment line said Jags is a threat.
Yeah. So I said, you know, maybe this could be one of the surprise teams. A legitimate threat? No. I mean, if their defense gets back on track from a couple of years ago, hey, you did lose down there early last year. Granted, it was like 110 degrees, but still, it was a bad spot for the Patriots in week two. So the defense gets back. They add Nick Foles. Maybe they win 10 games. I still think, you know, so you asked earlier, do the Patriots have the worst wide receiving crew in the NFL, or at least the AFC? If it's not the Patriots, it's the Jags.
Yeah, tell me about these guys.
Chris Conley, who used to be in Kansas City. Marquise Lee, who I think has been there but had an injury before. And then, I don't know, beyond those two.
D.D. Westbrook? That's just what's listed. I pulled up their depth chart.
Was he before? Was he
the ghost of Tom Coughlin?
They got that. But not a lot of talent. Boo. Not a lot of talent at wide receiver. And the other thing, even though I am back Foles.
What is that, Jimmy?
Boo.
Even though I'm
the ghost of Tom Coughlin.
I know.
Even though I'm back Lives Matter and I like, you know, running backs and whatnot, but are you going to tell me you're going to try to run 30, 35 times a game with Leonard Fournette?
Stop that.
It's not the way to do it.
That's disturbing. But I would say, just on paper, without, you know, taking too deep a dive on their depth chart, that is a defense that was excellent just a, you know, year ago. They did upgrade, presumably, a quarterback, someone who's, sorry, beaten you. And the ghost of Tom Coughlin is, you have to give that some sort of.
Oh, I do.
Put him on the list of a team that maybe sort of kind of has a chance to emerge from the pack and maybe be that team that no one sees coming. Because that's all you're getting at this point. Taking the Chiefs out of the equation. Brandon and Franklin, go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Just to keep it simple, I was just going to say, you know, I do see the Chiefs as, you know, the main, you know, our biggest challenge heading into this year. I don't see the caller earlier who mentioned the Browns and Ravens. I mean, maybe the Browns. I haven't thought twice about the Ravens. I'm not worried about them. But with the Chiefs, it's just, you know, Mahomes, if our defense you know, if I didn't feel our defense was going to be as good or better this year, I would say possibly, you know, on, you know, if it came down to our quarterback, you know, the offensive battle, I could see them beating us that way. But when you've got, you know, you still got Brady, while he may not, you know, be playing his best, then you got Belichick. Like, we're either going to out coach him, out quarterback him, and our deep, like, I don't see Mahomes, you know.
Okay, something's going to happen in the game like it did last year. I.e., their defensive player lining up a half foot offsides for no reason and nullifying your third interception of the game and losing the ball game. Like, something's going to happen. It usually does. But I will say that if everything in Kansas City stays as is, you know, no major injury, and Mahomes, you know, is just has a representative second year by his standards, which means they'll be excellent, they'll be a real serious threat.
Yeah, they'll still win 12 or 13 games.
Kansas City's no joke. I'm predicting something to happen. That this is all part of my calculus, that you wait. You heard it here first. Something's going to happen there. Mahomes is going to break a leg. They're going to the receiver's finally going to get suspended. Something. Something's going to happen there that we're going to look at them like we're looking at Oakland now with Antonio Brown losing his mind, or Andrew Luck here with this injury that sounds worse by the day, and the buffoonery that goes on there, or, you know, whatever. Houston's best defensive player holding out, might be traded. Something's going to happen.
I just wanted to, for poops and giggles, I wanted to see their depth chart, who was behind Patrick Mahomes, see if they could still hold water.
Who is it?
Chad Henne. Oh, they'd be so screwed.
Would you rather have Chad Henne or Brian Hoyer?
One and the same. Two stiffs. You're not winning crap with them.
You're winning 11 games here with Brian.
You're upping it to 11?
11 games. 11 games with Brian Hoyer, and you'll be in the divisional round. You may not host it. You may have to get through a wild card round, but you are... Do you think you're losing the division, no matter who's playing quarterback for the Patriots this year?
Yeah, he'd lose to the... Oh, if it's Brian Hoyer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd lose to the Jets.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, I stand by that.
Okay. You'd almost want it to just to see that play out, to have that bet, but I don't want Brady to get hurt.
Murray, just keep in mind that Felger has a thing with backup quarterbacks and being successful. You'll remember Curtis Painter.
3-1 with Curtis Painter, as long as it's Curtis Painter. Did I have you at 3-1 with Curtis Painter?
Yeah, you're not so good on this backup quarterback thing.
What do you mean? I was great. I was saying... No. You don't realize it there, but that proves I was right, because I was saying, I think that's probably the Garoppolo thing, that you're going to win games no matter who your quarterback is in there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I was right. They were 3-1 with the backup. See,
you're going to twist it to make it sound like you were
just,
right.
Yeah, you played that to make me look bad, Jimmy, and it blew up in your face.
It didn't. Curtis Painter, career record, 0-8.
Back with more after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sport.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better execution. I want you to get a little bit pissed off. All right, not a lot of people expect very much from us. Do they? Do they? You've been reading about us? Not a lot of people expect enough from us. I'm tired, man. I'm tired of reading about it. It's time for you to stick your foot up somebody's ass. Man, I'm looking for relentless, every situation strain. I want everybody to pick it up tonight. because we're capable of being a great football team.
You like Hard Knocks there, Ron Murray?
I like the show. I expected a little bit more with this year. I don't know. There's unintentional comedy, like that clip we just played. Like, I don't know how anyone, to a man, can sit in that room after John Gruden gets all bright red and says, you know, everybody just said there with the expletives and everything. I just feel like, how does someone not stand up and be like, you're corny. You're corny. The game has passed you by. Nobody takes you seriously. Because I know I don't as a viewer. And I don't know how anyone else can, especially anyone that's in there, you know, trying to do this and ply this as their trade.
Well, or you're just doing that for the camera.
Yeah, it all seems just so contrived.
Well, isn't that what, you know, what reality TV becomes? It becomes fake because, you know, the camera's there and it's not, like, real. And I think it seeps into this thing. I still think it's a good product. I still think...
It's a good show overall, yeah. I think it's just interesting to see the day-to-day for some of these guys. I like it. I don't know. Nothing's ever going to be that Jets season from whatever that was, like, now 9 years ago when they did that. That's, like, the high watermark of Hard Knocks.
Snack.
But getting true insight is hard. And I've checked out a lot of last couple seasons. I know I've heard the Midday talk a lot about you saw just how colossally overmatched Hugh Jackson was.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Last year in Cleveland.
I found last year interesting. Yeah. Because, like, you could see the discourse pretty early between Hugh Jackson and, you know, some of the coordinators.
Todd Haley and, like, those guys.
Yeah.
So, like, I think you get, but for the most part, you know, they're not going to throw, you know, not going to hang a team out to dry or a player out to dry. They're going to put them in as good of a light as possible unless they're cutting you. And then, you know, there's always those sort of guys. I've missed last night. I haven't seen last night. I've just sort of gone through all these clips. But I always think it's a worthwhile watch. And, you know, if some guys are entertaining, like this Jonathan Abram is a safety, rookie safety form. In that first episode, you find out he's like a real horseman. Like he ride horses, grew up on a farm, blah, 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 knew how to handle a horse and all that. And that was sort of...
It's kind of interesting.
Interesting-ish, entertaining-ish, you know, in the summer. He had a funny thing last night. Again, he's rookie, so what, 22, 23 years old, talking about Tom Brady and his age.
Tom Brady, 42 years old.
You see his number?
He older than my daddy. Tom Brady could have been my daddy.
he's a funny kid.
Yeah.
But, you know, but just the Antonio Brown stuff, I mean, my God. Half of me wonders if Antonio Brown is putting on the crazy for the reality show. Because isn't that what you do in reality TV? Don't you just amp up the crazy and you sort of play act a little bit and you just accentuate your craziness to make it entertaining. So is that what Antonio Brown's doing?
Maybe.
With the circumcised feet and this helmet nonsense, he's just giving the HBO folks some content.
Yeah, and builds buzz for himself and for his brand and
so,
all
but,
that.
So I wonder that, but what do you think then? Or do you think he's actually this certifiably crazy?
Either way, it's not good. Either he is a nut and he's going to fly off the handle at some point and also infect this team, much like he did Pittsburgh at the end. Or it's more about himself, which also helped infect, you know, the locker room in Pittsburgh and how he treated stuff. Remember, what was it, after a loss or it was after a big win or whatever, he was showing, like, inside the locker room on Snapchat or Instagram Live or something like that and pissed Mike Tomlin off. Like, he lives online. Again, reading some of the Mike Silver tweets last week, it's not just the helmet stuff and the feet stuff. During meetings so far, early on in camp, he's not even paying attention because he's looking at multiple tablets, looking at his bank accounts, looking at chicks on Instagram. Like, he lives online. So either he is nuts or he's just a selfish a-hole. Either way, it's not good.
Right. So this Mike Silver reporting isn't reality show. This is what, you know, again, since joining the Raiders, Brown has frustrated his new bosses by showing up late to numerous meetings and by often appearing unfocused in them. Brown, according to witnesses, typically glances at the screens of several tablets and his smartphone during team meetings, distracting himself by engaging activities which include perusing his bank accounts and liking photos on Instagram. That's unbelievable. Yeah. So,
employee of the month, he is not.
We continue with your thoughts. Gino in Weymouth. Hi, Gino.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to make you think about something. What makes this Ravens team much different from their Jaguars team a couple of years ago? Like, they have elite defenses. They have management that's not scared to face you. And their quarterbacks might not be the best. But we all know that the running quarterbacks give the Bill Belichick teams, like the Patriots, an issue. So, I mean, I don't know why they aren't being taken as more serious threats.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's a fair point, except, I don't know. I think ultimately that's what got in the way of Jacksonville. They had a 10-point lead on you the fourth quarter. They tightened up. They didn't trust their quarterback, and that ended up costing them the ball game. And your quarterback won it by scoring whatever there in the fourth quarter. And so that was the difference.
Yeah, in today's NFL, you're eventually going to have to open it up and throw the ball. You know?
I mean,
and Bortles, to his credit, at least for parts of that AFC Championship game before the idiot coach really tightened up, he was doing that. I don't know. Second year for Lamar Jackson, I just don't see it. The defense is legit. I think they were top ranked last year. They add Earl Thomas. I know he's coming off the injury. So the defense will still be good. But offensively, the Ravens aren't a threat.
Bob in Needham on the Colts. Hi, Bob.
Hey, first of all, Mari, 11-5 with Hoyer. Is Mike getting the same guy to give him the stuff as Irsay? Are you kidding? 11-5?
What, you don't believe in Bill Belichick and the team?
No, I don't. Well, not Brian Hoyer, no. I'm sorry.
I mean, then you must not think much of Bill Belichick and the team.
No, I don't think Brian Hoyer's a good quarterback. There's no way he could get up to 11 wins. No possible way. The team that was 18-0 got them to 11. This isn't an 18-0 team. It was 11-5 last year with Brady.
Yeah.
You get that?
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that.
By the way, I just want to talk about you guys. McDaniels looks like a genius now for turning down the job. With this guy, this banged up, he'll never be the same again with the shoulder and now this. So you don't have the franchise quarterback. So McDaniels, it turns out, made a good decision turning that job down.
Well, that's interesting. The pendulum has swung.
Right. Would you have said that last year?
No, you'd say he blew it. He blew it. With the Colts team on the come, drafted well, building around Andrew Luck, who's back ascending to being a franchise quarterback. McDaniels blew it. And now that's sort of, if he's got this Mo thing, the Cam Neely thing, then maybe.
Maybe he ultimately was right.
Maybe.
Are we to believe that Brian Hoyer is that much worse than Matt Cassel?
No, I don't.
Like,
I think
this is not that big a question. You've already seen it happen.
Thank you. But Bob's point is Cassel got him to 11 wins when they were 18 the year before. 16, really. You can't count the postseason wins. So they went from 16 to 11. If this team loses five games from last year, they go to 6 wins. I just don't, you know, that's Bob's point.
Yeah, that's a dumb point.
But that's not my point.
Sorry, Bob.
That's not my point. It's a best coach in the history of football, surrounded by a good team, very good team, and the competition is an absolute joke, which is what we're highlighting today, and every day brings a new joke from around. Every day brings a new calamity from some team that could have given you problems across the league.
Without even playing games.
Without even playing games, you're getting better. Without even playing games, you're winning them.
I have an interesting tidbit out of the NBC Sports Bay Area.com.
Here we go.
49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo threw interceptions on 5 straight attempts in practice today to 4 different players, no less.
Oh, say that again.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Uh-huh.
5 straight pass attempts. 5 straight interceptions to 4 different players.
Can I hear that one more time?
According to Matt Mayaka of NBCSportsArea.com, 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo threw interceptions on 5 straight attempts in practice today to 4 different players.
Oh.
And if you tune in during the headlines, you'll hear it again.
That just made my day. That's Jake DeLome-esque is what that. Oh.
It makes Nathan Peterman look good, man.
Oh. I'm going to need a moment after hearing
He's
that.
He's never been a good practice player, Murray. Don't you know that? He's a game
player.
Funny. I look down on Twitter, and what do you literally think is right there at the top? Evan Lazar, nice kid. Jimmy G was never a great practice player.
I told you. Yeah. I told you. He only comes on when he only shows it when the bright lights are on.
Bill, like everyone else, just got duped by his dashing looks. I'm convinced of it.
Okay, Red Sox about to go final in Cleveland. We'll give you a Red Sox minute coming up after Marshall Hook's update here. Don't go anywhere.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my 4th week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at Awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Popped up into center field. That should do it. Here comes Jackie Bradley. And Jackie makes the catch. The Red Sox have beaten the Indians, and they take the series 2-1. 5-1 the final score here today. Devers and Bogarts in particular, but also an outstanding effort by the bullpen.
All right, quick Red Sox thought. How about that, huh?
Oh, don't let him get hot, Felger.
Huh, Murray?
Oh, I know you love this.
I can't give up on him. Why would you?
There's so much talent. Oh, I'm Midwest Roachy. You can't sell, guys. They're the reigning champion Boston Red Sox. Whee!
Did you just say, why would you give up on
them? He's been at this for months.
I stopped doing it. I stopped.
Midwest Roachy.
I stopped. It's a good one. No, I stopped with that nonsense. I was by at the deadline. I was investing the team at the deadline because they're still one of the most talented teams in the league to this day. Today they are. Right this second, they're one of the most talented teams in the league. They're just...
All evidence to the contrary.
No, well, they're just not playing like it, which, again... Two guys are.
Devers and Bogarts.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, and look at the offense today. 5 runs, all from Devers and Bogarts. That's it.
I'm just telling you, you don't think the pitchers are better than they performed? Of course they are. Mm. The whole thing about Parcells, you are what you are, you aren't. Chris Sale's not a 4.5 ERA guy. He's just not.
Yeah, he might be. He might be broken.
He's. I mean, if he is, he is, but I don't think so. I don't think so. Wouldn't surprise me if he pops back right again next year. But I have, like, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they've given up.
Oh, okay. All
okay, right. So I'm done with that. But I was on that train, Murray, for a while. And, well, I mean, I don't know. I just say I think they've given up. Have they? They just took 2 or 3 from the team leading the wild card.
Well, last night was a fake win, if you did watch
this. How was last night a fake win?
Well, you see, as they were in the process of blowing the game, and Alex Cora left Chris Sale in far too long because he can't trust his suckbag bullpen, and as the Indians climbed back into the 7th inning, the Indians actually had an opportunity to go ahead in the game in the 8th as Francisco Lindor, who went off last night, much like Devers did, hits a double and then like a complete idiot tries to steal third and it kills any kind of rally. And that was essentially going to be it for the rest of the night. It was extremely frustrating. It was mostly a fake win for the Red Sox last night. So I'm not giving them that one.
How about today?
Today? Hey, look, it was a bullpen day and they hold them to 1 run. So kudos
today,
to them.
Today, Terry Francona made a mistake.
What did he do?
He intentionally walked Devers to pitch to Bogarts, and Bogarts hit it out of the ballpark.
That's right.
And so that's not good. And
but I don't maybe know. Francona had a rough night last night. I don't know.
Okay, but hold on. First base was open, and Devers was something like 8 for his last 9?
6 for 6 last night. Yeah. Like, he's been ridiculous. 4 doubles last night. He's been unbelievable. You could also, a lesser man might make this case. You could maybe look at the schedule and say the Indians were looking ahead to a more important series, 4 games coming up against the New York Yankees at the start tomorrow. So maybe that's what was going on with the Indians today. They just looked at this as like, what the hell? Who cares? It's the Red Sox, they're not doing anything anyway.
Here's the statement, and it's 100% factual. They have the talent to go on a run and challenge for a playoff berth. They have the talent to do it. Do you disagree with that, Hook? They have the talent.
In theory, yes.
Okay, there you go. Now, do I think they're going to do it? No. Because I think that they quit at the deadline. They put themselves too far behind, and they're going to take a step forward this weekend, but then take 2 steps back next. That's been the trend all season long, and that's what I expect to happen, and that would be my prediction. So I don't predict them to do anything more than you do. But where I will say, you know, maybe break with you or just reemphasize, which is what makes this season so disgraceful, is that they're still one of the most talented teams in baseball.
No, they are. They are talented. It's just it's the underachieving gutlessness in them this year. That's what makes it so repulsive.
One more thing. Can I just scratch an itch?
Please.
That I think we all share. Can you play me the Chris Sale highlight from last night, Jim Murray? This thing again? The nonsense with the freaking strikeouts already? So this happened. Chris Sale, he didn't get the win, and they gave up a bunch of runs, but he did do this.
1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. And Chris Sale has reached 2,000 strikeouts in the fewest innings in Major League history. He's done it here tonight in Cleveland, and the Red Sox lead it 2-0.
Holy crap, who cares?
Especially,
I mean, really,
now.
That's a giant who cares.
Without question, especially because this is what the game is now. Everyone strikes out. It's strikeouts, walks, and home runs. That's baseball in 2019. It's mostly meaningless.
God, it's painful. It's painful, the strikeout thing. Who cares about the strike? Do you care about the strikeouts, Hook?
I don't. I don't at all. I mean, no. It's just like we've talked about before with all the home runs, and people are excited that player X has 22 home runs. Every player has 22 home runs right now. Every player has 120 strikeouts, which just by definition means you're going to get a bunch of pitchers with a lot of them. Oh. Chris Sale striking out 13 or 14 guys in a game when he's also limiting them to one run and has been doing it all season long. Fine, I'll take it. That's like part of an entire arsenal of being effective and good and dominant. Chris Sale striking out 13 while also giving up home runs and runs and sucking all year long. I'm not interested.
Who cares? We have a live reaction from Adam Jones last night upon Chris Sale setting the record.
You would figure this is like the perfect spot unless they want to get Price in there in a higher leverage situation.
Yes!
I have a feeling we're not going to do this Evan guy.
Yes!
It's going to be an epic rant.
300 strikeout, baby! Yes! Suck it, Baltimore!
This is breaking sports news.
That's right.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, Chris Sale records his 300th strikeout of the season. First pitcher to do that since Pedro Martinez. He's getting high fives throughout the dugout. It's big time, folks, big time. Chris Sale, strikeout number 300. And I think he just mouthed, "I dedicate that to Adam Jones." I'm not sure, but I think he looked directly into the camera and mouthed that.
Yeah, how's that taste, Baltimore? 300 strikeout. Right in your eyeball. Suck on that. Chris Sale back out for the eighth inning. A moment we will all remember for the rest of our lives.
So we'll
never forget where we
were.
Jim, we had that confused with the 300, whatever that was. All these strikeout records, I mean, really.
They're completely meaningless.
Who cares? Seriously, I freaking hate the strikeout. I'm with Shaughnessy. I hear him talk about this all the time. I mean, like,
put the ball in play.
Oh, it's helped ruin the game.
It has, without question. And so, and I know the nerds want to try to tell you, well, wins really don't matter as much as you think they do. He's 6-11 this year. That's the number I want to talk about with Chris Sale. And he's half the reason, more than half the reason, it feels like, along with others in that rotation, as to why you are in this position trying to fight and claw to the death to try to squeak into the second wild card, a team that won 108 games last year. Please, it's embarrassing. 6-11. That's the number to talk about. Ooh, 2,000 strikeouts. Whee! Who cares?
So you can weigh in on the Red Sox if you like. Cup open lines at 617-779-0985. Meanwhile, we're mostly football today. We can reset our Rob Gronkowski thoughts from earlier in the show, but mostly it's why everybody else is stupid and sucks and has no chance in the league. We continue with that right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mad.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Felger and Mass.
Just your classic sports radio sort of thing. Opinion, phone call, commercial.
The stories of the day.
Claire, put the dead squirrel down!
In their unique way.
This is what we do.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You look like you're walking a little funny.
Yeah, my feet is pretty much getting circumcised, right?
right?
Yeah,
for
like,
real.
Like circulation?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah, with the new skin, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pullback right now.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown's circumcised feet. Pete in Delaware's comment line says, all NFL teams are stupid, AB as an example. That's sort of my point today.
That sums it up.
This is the condition of the league. One of the best players in the league, and perhaps the best player on a team, that conceivably had a chance to come out of the pack and be a playoff team or a player in the AFC, can't get on the field, A, because he went into a Cairo chamber in Paris and paradoxically froze his feet to the point where he burned them off, and has pitched a fit because he can't wear the kind of helmet that he's worn since he came into the league. And this is the competition for the Patriots. That's sort of been my point today. Meanwhile, another team that conceivably might have come out of the pack in the Indianapolis Colts, their franchise quarterback, who appeared to have gone back on track as being a franchise quarterback in the league, behind an offensive line that had been built around him and a team that felt like it was trending in the right direction with a good young offensive coach, it appeared, is going to miss the entire preseason with a calf, high ankle-ish, Mo-type bone thing, according to the owner. And he's going to miss the entire preseason, and you have to wonder about Andrew Luck's viability as an NFL quarterback. This is the competition. This is my point today. Pete in Delaware, your thoughts there.
Hey, guys. So is that saying you can't fix stupid? And I honestly believe the other NFL teams are not repairable because they keep making the same mistakes. Why do you take a diva wide receiver? They never win Super Bowls. And, guys, let me ask you this one question before getting off the phone. Did either one of you or anybody in the studio think that bringing Antonio Brown into the Raiders was not going to turn out to be a disaster?
No, it's true. I mean, right.
So why do it?
I mean, everyone thought, oh,
they need buzz. They're trying to move to Vegas and sell PSLs there, and that's really what that comes down to.
I understand. Still, if he wasn't a complete lunatic and Gruden moved the team just a little bit in the right direction in year two and got the quarterback straightened out, they had a chance to do a little something and be a little interesting. And you know what? They still do. They still do. But, oh, my God. It's just, to me, I'm just using the buffoonery that's going on out there to represent the competition and the state of the league now. There's something, on almost any team that you can point to, something massively, fundamentally wrong or dysfunctional on all of these teams. And even though you have your dramas and your soap operas, at least, as you said before, the palace queue, at least you're in the palace. And at least it's a high-class palace queue where the greatest of all time are sort of elbowing each other a little bit.
And you just know they're going to be able to shut out the noise. They always do.
And whether whatever the level of drama, they've proven they can win in spite of it. These other teams, Antonio Brown brought the Steelers to their knees. And he's going to do the same thing with the Raiders, it feels like. Meanwhile, that Cairo chamber we talked about that. And there was a jumping off point for something that I just wanted to say publicly because, well, it's important to me in that I've said that I want to be frozen, cryogenically frozen, or I don't ever want to be taken off of life support. You know, there's always those cases where someone's on their last legs and they're dying breath, but they're on life support, and the spouse takes them off of life support. They unplug the machine, and the spouse comes out and then says, well, Michael would have wanted it that way. He would have wanted that for us and his family, and he didn't want to suffer, or he didn't want us to suffer. And I'm telling you, I'm just the opposite. If the wood ever unplugs me and comes out and says, he would have wanted it that way. You heard it here from my mouth. I do not want it that way. Keep me plugged in. Or I've given her the option, if it's a better deal, to go find a Cairo chamber and behead me like Ted Williams and hang me upside down and freeze me.
May I suggest that before you go to a Cairo thing, you actually call it a cryo
thank you
thing,
whatever,
what's otherwise they're going to be working on your back and you know, giving you muscle relaxants, so, or something.
Anyway, Mike and Woburn wanted to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Mike.
Either that or trying to freeze you in Egypt, which probably won't go well. Mike, we've documented your issues with cold temperatures before, and I'm wondering, are you planning on taking the deep freeze soon?
Not necessarily, no. Basically when I need it.
Because I'm wondering, like, you're a very vain individual, You tend to be very picky about certain things. What happens when your body starts falling apart? Do you still want to be frozen?
I do. I think what happened to Ted Williams, they behead you and just save the head.
So what happens? What happens when they bring you back and it's not, and everything doesn't go entirely perfect? Like, what happens if they bring you back and everybody sounds like they're talking to you on a bad cell phone? What are you going to do?
I'm going to try and figure it out. At least I'm going to give it a shot. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
I mean, because, like, I understand you have various schemes, you know, to stay alive during
Correct.
Asteroid strikes and you know, super volcano explosions.
Correct.
But I wonder if you've really thought about the Felger quality of life once you return from the dead.
Mike,
you know, I think zombie Mike Felger might not be the thing that you're looking for, you know.
Oh, I take it. Turn me into a vampire versus dying. No problem. Turn me into a zombie versus being dead. I'll take it.
Put your brain in someone else's body completely.
Take it.
Yep.
And when you bring me back, you got to pop my head under another body? No problem. I can work with it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. At least I've given it a shot. I'm no quitter. And basically, the wood is not allowed to unplug me. You've heard it. I've stated publicly many times. I just want it in the public sphere. So if she says publicly you would have wanted it that way, you can say, frankly, it's exactly the opposite.
I still think you're going to have a hard time finding any law enforcement official, doctor, or anyone who's going to, you know, take your side in this.
What do you mean? It's already in writing.
I think if she
I have it in writing. It's in my will. There's a clause.
Yeah, I mean, it's here, but it's Mike Felger, you know?
No, that's
it. And they'd all go, okay, yeah, you got a point there.
Okay, that's not the main topic of the day, but anyway, that's a little side one. Cam and Taunton on the Steelers. Yes, Cam.
So, Mike, before my point, I want you to be a bear, be a grizzly. The difference between Brian Hoyer and Tom Brady is one game, is what you're saying.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Mike, if Brian Hoyer's a quarterback of this team, they go 5-11 at best.
No.
Does this team have J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney on defense and he turned to DeAndre Hopkins? No, he's not.
No, I don't think it's about the players as much as it's about the coach.
Okay. But don't sleep on the Steelers this year. Getting rid of Antonio Brown might be the best thing that ever happened to them. Like, I think they could be this year's version of the Seahawks, a team everyone writes off. They get back to football, get focused, and they make the playoffs. And they might rally around the death of this receiving coach like the Patriots did in 01 when Dick Rabine died. I think they could surprise some teams this year.
Okay. The Steelers are a team I think you always have to kind of take seriously. I want to dismiss him because I think Tomlin is so overmatched.
I would agree with that.
Every time he faces Belichick, and Brady just knows the answers to that test every time he plays that Steelers defense. So I want to dismiss him, but then in the same breath, I say to myself, the Steelers beat you last year. And so I guess I sort of have to. Well, I don't know how you lose two of your three best players and get better.
Yeah.
I mean, you can. I suppose you can if those two guys are complete.
It did feel like Brown was really a problem there at the end, just in terms of undermining the operation, undermining Tomlin. So maybe it's like, you know, when Moss went bad here and they bring in, you were just talking about
Deion Branch
back, and, you know, the offense gets set and it looks like a completely different team. So maybe, you know, it does work out for them. I still think Tomlin, like you, I think, is overmatched half the time, especially in big games. I don't trust their secondary, like, they feel like a 10-win team to me.
Rocco and Saugus, who are we overlooking?
Hey, listen, I want to talk about the Chargers first, Mike, but listen, this is your Uncle Rocco, and I just want to give you some props for last week, man, for saying about Tom Brady. You went in last week, but I want to give you, you know, big props, man, for, you know, talk about Brady might be on some supplements. That's big cojones, Mike. Nobody in Boston wants to talk about that. That 41, 42-year-old man put on 10 to 15 pounds of muscle, man, clean, right? The key word is clean. Let's just say that. But, Mike, big cojones. 2002, Michael Felger right there. And now, San Diego Chargers, right? The San Diego Chargers, I like Gus Joseph. That defense is no joke. Even if they lost last year, if you have to play in San Diego in the playoffs, I think that's going to be a hard game. So San Diego Chargers is the team to watch out.
You just, I don't know what I said about Brady last week that you're giving me credit for.
Did you say,
I don't think I even did.
Oh,
maybe right. I did. I didn't even notice it.
Sounds like you.
Whatever. I mean, definitely sounds like me. I just.
But it's never. It's not San Diego. It's L.A. in a soccer stadium, and they have no fans.
Okay, but I'll say this: that's a really nice roster.
Especially defensively. Yeah.
That's a good roster. The coach totally exposed himself. The defensive coordinator completely exposed himself, like Gus Bradley in that playoff game last year. The only chance the Chargers have to beat you in a game that matters is out there. They are. I'll say this: Philip Rivers and that coach and that defensive coordinator in the playoffs are never coming here and beating you.
I would agree with that.
No shot. None. I made that mistake last year. I ain't making it again. So they better win their division, and they better get you, you know, even in that little soccer stadium. If you got to travel all the way out there, that, you know, that levels the playing field at least a little bit. And that's the only chance I would give the Chargers. We continue with your thoughts on all of this. We'll reset our thoughts as well on Rob Gronkowski. He set this press conference for 2 weeks, this big reveal for 2 weeks. Let me ask you this. If it's not involving football, do you give two craps what Rob Gronkowski does with his life? Do you care? Unless it has anything to do with football? We'll get to that right after Hook's 90-second update. No commercials.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.